Hi, this is Tobin Beck from Concordia University, and I'm here today with Kathy Miller, who is a professor of sociology. So welcome, Dr. Miller.
Thank you, Tobin.
And I want to talk to you about the amazing range of things that you do with your classes as you teach them sociology and work with them on various projects. So if you could kind of introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Sure. In my field, I feel like it's really important to give my students opportunities to really experience opportunities with people that they wouldn't normally interact with. It's a great way for them to be sensitized, to gain some cultural appreciation, and also to humanize particular groups of people that they may not necessarily interact with. But it also can be a discovery of a passion that they may come to, because it isn't usually the classroom experience that will always do it, but experiences, especially with this generation.
That sounds really interesting. And you were mentioning, we were talking earlier about your social problems class and what you do with that class, where they have to devote 40 hours to working with different organizations. And can you describe a little bit about how that works?
Sure. My students are required to, they get some choice about the organization that they might want to work with. I've already established before class begins in the semester different organizations that would be willing to have students work alongside with them on a particular project, and where the 40 hours would be beneficial. And so for example, one of the places where my students did work with this group was with Released and Restored. This is an organization that is designed to help prisoners re-enter and be more successful to reduce recidivism. So I had four students that actually selected that. They went through training both with the organization and with Lancaster County Jail. And they actually worked with a group of women, first of all, and helped them do resumes. They had to practice for job interviews. They helped them to identify goals that they wanted to accomplish and strengths that they had. And so they worked at it as a team approach. And my students loved the experience. And then,
if I could ask, why did they love it? What did they particularly love about it?
Well, for one, they helped people that didn't necessarily see that they had any strengths. And that was a real awakening to the people that they worked with. And they felt like what they had to offer mattered, that the people there wanted to be there. They weren't forced. This was totally voluntary. And they were eager to learn. And they saw the students as knowledgeable. And then the team approach, I think, was also really beneficial. So
I'm sorry, when you say team, how does that work?
Okay, the team was the four students actually worked together with both the director of Released and Restored and another employee of that organization, so that they actually would trade off on who maybe took the lead on a particular day, because they actually did this over the course of the semester. So they did this for 4 weeks with the women and then 4 weeks with the men twice a week.
So with each individual inmate that they might be working with, how much time would they spend?
They actually spent 4 hours each week. But they did it in a small group. So like when they met with the women, it was a group of eight women all at once with this group of four students and then the two other leaders.
So how effective was that program, both with the inmates that they were working with and with the students? How would you gauge the effectiveness?
Well, in both counts, really exceptional, because for one, my students said that this was probably the best experience they've had in college, hands down. And what, one of them is going to go into law school, and the other three are actually going into the field of criminal justice. And it was interesting because one of the students who was planning to be a police officer and just got a job was very black and white about things and actually had pretty narrow opinions of prisoners before.
How do you mean black and white?
Well, he would indicate in his papers that he would label them as prisoners and really to not be trusted. He really expected the worst and really did not see them as reformable to a large extent. But after this experience, he verbally and to the entire class, as well as in his papers, expressed what a different viewpoint he had about, you know, working with inmates and the possibility for reform. And then the statistics, while the statistics weren't about, I don't have them for this particular group because to an extent they were still in jail, but the statistics for recidivism with released and restored is half that, well, almost less than half of what the Nebraska rate of recidivism is. So there's this like 14% return to prison versus wow. It's like in the 60% otherwise. And so they've had really good success. And some of them go through it more than once. But the personal approach, I think, really makes a difference. And I think that, you know, the students just really felt reinforced that they had something to offer. And my experience has also been, too, that the men and women in those situations, when they finally get there, they're just soaking it up like sponges. You don't have to convince them that this is important. They know it's important.
Oh, that's great. You also mentioned the CASA program that the students work in.
Right. Three of my students actually chose to work with CASA, which is
court-appointed
special advocate. Mm-hmm. And these are appointed by a judge. So say, for instance, that a child or children get pulled out of a home. And so the judge will determine if this child or children might benefit from having a CASA advocate, who would be a person that is just there for them to listen to them. Well, since my students can't necessarily, because of privacy and such, interact directly with the kids, they helped the local chapter, the Seward County, it's actually Southeast Nebraska CASA, work on a fundraiser, which helps give them the money to do the classes and to, in some sense, offer resources to families who've had their children taken away so that if maybe, you know, or provide for the children something. So my students actually worked on a website. They actually worked with the director to actually organize the fundraiser. They actually carried out the fundraiser. So they got to see it all the way through.
Fundraiser?
Well, what they did is they actually did a superhero race. And so the kids could dress up like superheroes. So it was open to the public. And actually, there was a motorcycle group who actually participated and joined in with them. They got sponsors and other organizations locally to be a part, as well as to contribute money for it. And so they actually did kind of a walk-run race, both for young kids and older kids, to raise awareness about what CASA is, what people can do, those types of things. So the kids really felt accomplished because they carried it through and they had good guidance and support, but they actually got to see how much money they raised. So they had a goal, they met the goal, they exceeded their goal. So they were really excited. Plus, they actually have skills that they can put down on a resume that actually can show what they did and get letters of recommendation for other opportunities that may come up.
That sounds great. You also had mentioned about the family class that you teach. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because that also sounded really interesting.
Sure. In my family class, it's a service learning class, which means that you work alongside with someone. And in this case, I figure for a family class, it's important for them to understand about people's lives. But particularly in this, they have to interview someone who is at least 60 years or older, because I want them to get paired with a person of another generation. And so they can either choose the person or I will connect them with the local person, because then it can be face-to-face. Although actually this year, some of my students there were a lot of students that were local students, so they were actually picking their relative, but they were face-to-face and could meet locally. And so they meet with their person at least a minimum of 5 times, and they have guidance on questions to learn their life story. Some of them purposely know they want to address some losses that that person may have experienced in their life, and sometimes that's part of it. But they basically go from their earliest memory to their current time. And so for my students, they get to learn about not only another person, but a very different time and things that they've never experienced. It actually helps connect them with an older adult, which some are close to their grandparents, but some don't really talk in this way. And so it's actually been a great opportunity for them to really connect and bond either with a relative that they thought they knew, but this goes so much deeper, especially when they find out that the student really wants to learn. And the neatest thing is when the students go from seeing it as an assignment to seeing it for what it really is, which is being with another person and the gift of letting them share their life. And most of the time, my adults are mentoring my students just as much as my students are giving them the gift of listening and caring about it. And so when they're excited and come to class and share something, it's really amazing. And then we actually put together a script from a story that they will select with their person's permission. And then we actually share them in different settings and then invite the people, if they're able, to come and hear their story shared. And we do it along a theme. And my students also have to share what this project meant to them. And the best thing this year is we went to Heartland, and my students were literally standing 3 feet from the people that were their audience. And I told them to share from their heart, that this was not a show, it wasn't a presentation. And they spoke from their heart. And it was just really moving to see what it meant to them.
And Heartland is a senior living center here in Seward.
Correct. And so we actually did have some that were at the center that were interviewed. But then we also had some people locally that came in to hear it at Heartland and got to hear one of their stories shared from the student that had interviewed them.
And what kind of responses, reactions did you get from the people who had been interviewed?
Very positive. Sometimes I actually purposely pick someone that I know could really stand someone coming to visit them. Sometimes it's been people that just have great stories. But what I see is that it really gives meaning and value. And because I, at least with some, we tell them to give advice. So what advice would you give, like, to your grandkids? And so it actually shows that their life was rich and meaningful, and it allows them to remember things that then get to be shared with their kids. And I've had adult children that can't wait to hear those stories. And so it's been really positive. I often bring back some of the previous ones that have been interviewed to talk to my new class to talk about what it was like for them as well. So it's been really positive. I've had a few that said they'd like to be interviewed again because they enjoyed it so much.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
You had also mentioned another thing that you do with your classes is prison ministry. And could you talk about that a bit as well?
Sure. I actually do a variety of prison ministry with a couple of my classes. So, for example, in my intro to sociology class, I offer students the opportunity to actually go into the Nebraska State Pen for worship with the men. And so they have to go through all the security, and they have to be of a certain age. They have to go through a background check. I have to prepare them with all the rules about what they can and can't do. So they have to go through the pat down. They're in the razor wire fence. And so they get the experience of what it's like to actually be in a prison. because we have to walk across the yard to go to the worship center. But then, while it's still Lutheran worship, I'll tell you, listening to the message and singing hymns with the population that is largely not in the prison, which is young men, or largely not in churches, is the young men, but they want to be there. They're so happy to see them. They love my students. They thank my students over and over again for coming. And while my students might think they're going in to share their faith, it's actually the men that share their faith. And then as you listen there, it's like the message takes on such a more real meaning. Things about, you know, confession and forgiveness is totally different. You hear the men praying for people's concerns, and it's just so meaningful. And so, plus, my students also then see prisoners as real people that could be their brother or their father who are in prison, and that they aren't, you know, disposable, that these are real people that made a mistake and might get out, and, you know, that they're worth having another chance, you know, that they're people and they're not just inmates, they're not just felons, but they're real life people who want another chance.
And you also do this with the women's prison in York?
Correct. I also go into the York Women's Prison once a month, again, for worship in that regard. I was going to say students have to there actually go through a training to be able to come into York. And so I don't take as many there, but I also take students, and I tend to do my upper level students. I take them to the Nebraska State Pen for what they call banquets or symposiums. Every semester, each of the clubs, there's a bunch of clubs that are in the prisons. And so I get invited and I can bring guests to Toastmasters, which is just what it sounds like. That is a group that actually gives speeches. So there's Toastmasters on outside of prison and there's Toastmasters inside. These are two-hour celebrations. And so like at the Toastmasters, my students get more chance to talk to the men, hear their story. They get to hear them give speeches. They get to see who gets kind of awards and what they're for. So it's celebrating their accomplishments. We also get invited to the Lifers Club, which these are a group of men that mentor other young men in the prison. They're really the leaders, and they're really trying to transform the culture. So my students get to hear, you know, what this is about, as well as their story. And again, it's just really, it really holds you accountable to hear them holding themselves accountable and what they're trying to do and how they're trying to change their lives. So anyway, so every semester I actually invite my students to be able to come to those banquets, to be able to celebrate and also kind of learn from the men. And I had one student one year whose father was in prison, and he came, and it actually started part of the healing for him about his own father being in prison. So it's been really transformative.
That's great. Could you speak also a little bit about Project Homeless that we were talking about earlier that you do with your cultural anthropology class?
Yes. Each fall in Lincoln, there is a day called Project Homeless, which for us is at Pinnacle Arena. It's a one-stop kind of social service day to put everything together for people that are either homeless or nearly homeless. And so various organizations will advertise it. And so my students, we all volunteer and we're called navigators. And so we show up and we get a little bit of training. And then we call the people that come, call them guests. And then my students get paired up either one-on-one or they get paired up with a family. And then they basically help them to accomplish what they would like to accomplish that day. The first thing they always do is they sit down and eat because some people haven't eaten. And so this year we actually collected a bunch of items that we knew they needed. So my students also got to see them, you know, receive them and take them with them. But like seeing, so my students will get to see how like getting a haircut can just transform someone's life. And if you're homeless or nearly homeless, it's so difficult, transportation. And so having everything in one place not only helps them, but it also shows my students what all kinds of social services are available to help people. They also get to learn a little bit about that person's life and the kinds of things that they're going through. And so I've had three students come back 3 years in a row because it was so meaningful to them. And that's been happening more and more as my students found out they could, because they had such a positive experience doing it. And we go for all day when we go, but it's amazing and also disheartening sometimes to see what people have experienced and how they ended up in that situation. So,
one last thing I wanted to ask you about was the work that you do on the Pine Ridge Reservation.
Mm-hmm. I've gone to Pine Ridge for the last 3 years, and I'm looking to go again this year as well. I've done that more with a church group. And so what we've done is that we go to, there's an organization called Remember, and it used to be that people would actually kind of work through certain organizations, but some people took advantage of Native Americans. So Remember is a group that's been there a long time, and the Native people actually trust them. And so what you do is you actually sign up for a week to go and actually work on work projects. And you also, sometimes you actually get to work with the Native families because they get on a list in terms of work projects that need to be done. We also get educated by Native speakers on both the history and the current situations. So like suicides are a real serious issue and how they're trying to deal with it and cope with it and that type of thing. And we also get blended in with people from all over the country. So like your group, however large it is, gets mixed in with about 50 to 60 other people. And then you all get mixed up. So we get to also learn from each other as well as learn what we're doing. And what's nice is the counselors actually equip you. So you will have somebody who's 12 years old that may actually be showing you how to do a buzzsaw and cut siding and, you know, build a handicap ramp or whatever. And then the next day you're showing somebody else how to do it. And so plus they always say if the family is there, you stop whatever you're doing and you talk with the family. And so like 1 year, a couple of our volunteers actually just sat and read a book to one of the kids. So it's a real eye-opener to kind of see what kind of conditions people live in, but yet also see strength and hope and see some of the progress that's been made. And they always ask you at the very end something about why did you come? And what are you taking away? And it's so, I don't know, inspiring to hear, especially what the kids say, because they'll usually honestly admit that they came because they needed community service hours or something like that. But what they took away was that there is such strength, but there's such need.
And what kind of response do you get from the people out there that you work
The Native with? People. I was going to say, many of them are very encouraged and very appreciative that we're there and trying to give them, you know, a little bit of assistance to try and get in a better place. So like one lady that we helped build a handicap ramp, she had actually, between her own relatives and others, she'd actually taken in over 50 children, but she had diabetes. And so she needed the handicap ramp. And so she came out and talked to us and shared things with us and was just so happy that we were there and really appreciated the fact that the handicap ramp would allow her to be mobile still. She was so excited to have this handicap ramp to be able to get in and out of her trailer.
And you had mentioned, do you bring students from Concordia up there to to Pine Ridge?
I was going to. I have mainly brought high school students in that particular case. When I've gone to Alaska, actually there I brought a lot of students, and that's another indigenous group out in the bush to the southwest.
Well, that's quite a range of things that you're involved with and that you get your students at the different levels, both high school and college, involved with. So I really want to thank you for visiting with me today, and thank you for all the work that you're doing, because you really are a huge blessing to the community and to Concordia University. So this is Tobin Beck at Concordia University in Seward, here today with Kathy Miller, sociologist at Concordia. And thanks to all of you out there for listening here on KNNA-FM LP.